let's turn it up. We're gonna sing it out for all the world to hear. Oh, 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 oh. There's life for everyone. A new day has begun. Something to shout about.
Give God some praise this morning.
The time has come now to stand up for the truth. A generation has called to honor you. When fear surrounds, we will rise up in our faith. God, you are with us, and we are not afraid, and we are not afraid. There is strength inside of grace, there is hope in every place. In the face of enemies, we are saved. When the world comes crashing down,
the time has come to bring darkness to its knees.
Lord,
ashamed. Amen.
As we go into this next song, I really want you to think about these lyrics, because it simply says that great are you, Lord. So sing this out with us as you learn it, as we continue to sing.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken.
Your voices and sing, you give life.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore, every heart that is broken. And great
believe.
Damn, that's incredible. It's funny how the Lord works. I don't know how much of this was planned. You guys just got my messages, and it's all working together beautifully. And it's weird. I've known EL for 10 years, maybe 11 years, 12 years. Yeah, and to be here in this space, like the two of us, like this was not where we were 12 years ago. I was an atheist 12 years ago. We'll get to that in a second. And Melinda, I just adore you. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here, to be in this space. And to be in a Methodist church, it's all just a lot. My family also stepped away from faith for a while, and they've been going to Methodist Church, Ohio, for a few years now, and it's changed their life. And I'm going to tell you sort of how it's changed my mother's life in a little bit as well. My partner, Emil, over here to my right, his father just retired. He was a Methodist pastor for 40-some years, 50 years? Yeah, and just retired a few weeks ago. So there's a whole lot of things happening right now inside of me, a lot of emotions. And I'm just grateful to be here. Thank you to Pastor Mark, obviously, for creating this community and being the heart and soul of this community. You guys are really interesting and unique, and I love it. It's so different from what I'm used to. I grew up Catholic, so we'll get to that in a bit, too. But that song, I've never heard that song, and I want to find out what that is after this, because I need that in my life. I am who you say I am. That's something I've struggled with my entire life. And we posed the question earlier, do the people in your life know the authentic you? And for many years, I looking back now, I know that I wasn't authentic. I didn't know what authentic even was. I was so confused by so many years of being taught a certain dogma or a way of life that I didn't even know how to find that authentic me. So it can be confusing, right? And it's like one of those words right now that's really, it's trendy and it's cool and everybody wants to be authentic. He mentioned social influencer, which I hate that term, but I think it's probably on a bio somewhere, so I apologize. But yeah, like we live in an era now where especially the younger generation prides themselves on being authentic, right? Just last night when we were talking about this morning, Emil asked me, he's like, what are you gonna wear tomorrow? And I was like, oh, I didn't think about that. Huh, like what should I wear? Like what should I wear? Because that's really an important thing, right? Like, no, just kidding. And I started thinking about it, I was like, okay, like I'm not a pastor, to be very clear. But I want to look like a cool pastor. You know what I mean? You know the type. Like the Rich Wilkerson Jr. types. Like they wear like skinny jeans and like white tennis shoes and like denim shirts every week. And they look really cool and they have like cool bangs. And like maybe I'll do that. So but then I stressed about it all night long because like the shirt I wanted to wear wasn't clean. And that's what I was worried about when I went to bed last night. And then I woke up this morning and I had a moment. I was like, I'm going to wear my lemon shirt. It literally says lemonade on it. It has lemons everywhere. And it's so indicative of what God has been in my life. Right, we all know, like, when life hands you lemons, you make lemonade. Right, of course. But that's how God works. That's how we're all created. We get lemons sometimes from Christ, and we get confused, and we get lost in moments, and we're not sure how to actually turn that thing that's kind of sour and maybe not the greatest into something that's, like, beautiful and delicious and wonderful, right? But Christ always gives us the tools. They've been inside of us all the time. Sometimes we need to engage with other people in our lives and our community to activate those tools, and that's where authenticity comes in. So I decided, like, this is my authentic self. Like, this is how I dress. Like, this is what I wear in the real world. I love this shirt. I posted it on Instagram one time. I got a whole lot of likes. I was in front of a yellow wall in Santa Monica. It was great. photo cred to Emil. But this is me authentically. Not the kid that grew up in Catholic church having to wear, you know, a shirt and tie to church every week. You know, come as you are. This is me. So that's why I'm wearing this shirt. I hope it inspires something in you today. It's also keeping me cool as I stand up here. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. So today I just want to have a conversation with you about authenticity. We're going to get into a little bit of scripture. And again, I'm not a pastor. Full authenticity, I've never read the entire Bible in my life. Anybody else not read the whole thing? Okay, good. To be fair. And then another half of you probably also have, but you're just afraid to be authentic right now. It's totally okay. I go to scripture, I go to passages that suit me in certain moments, which maybe might not be the way to do it, but it's how I get through life. So I want to talk to you today about authenticity. Like, what is authenticity? It's tricky, and I think it means something different to everybody. And I don't want it just to be like a flashy word. I want it to be like a real thing that like we feel in our souls and that we embrace, all right, as a community, not just as a church, but also out into your daily lives. Okay? So can we have that conversation? I don't have my talk memorized, so I'm going to look down. Is that cool? Are we good?
Yes.
I have to memorize a lot in my normal life, so this is just, let's do this. All right. Like I said, it's a difficult concept to pinpoint as an individual, this word authenticity. So it's even more difficult for churches to find their authentic voice. So they tend to stick with things that they've always done. They go with what's worked for them in the past, and they continue those patterns. So many churches that I've gone to my entire life, not this church, obviously. You guys are changing things up. You're going on that journey to figure out your authentic voice. As opposed to finding ways to engage the new generation, like younger kids, like the future of the church, churches tend to stick with what they know. And it's not working, from my perspective. There are ways to make Christ and the Bible fresh and engaging and exciting, because he is all of those things. Like, he's like the original hipster. Like, Jesus is like the coolest dude in the world. But how do you tell that story in an authentic way that connects with people today? That's what I'm going to try to, start that conversation with you today. You know, so many young people are always searching for that deeper connection to God. And I travel the country as a keynote speaker, and I talk to high school kids and college kids, and they do want that deeper connection. They yearn for it, but they just don't understand what it is, and they're afraid of it. So many have such a deep mistrust of religion. They choose to call themselves spiritual, which I did for a lot of years. I see it as a defense mechanism, and I actually think that's okay. I think it's okay to sometimes pull back from religion and even from Christ, because he's cool with it. Like, he's comfortable with it. He's okay with you going on the journey and figuring out what you feel and why you feel it. But too many kids, I feel like, are doing this as a defense, and it's our job to bring them out of that. If we believe that the Bible truly is like the living word, that's why I was raised as Christians, we believe it's the living word, correct? Then we must also believe that the stories in the Bible resonate with each of us differently, right? And that's okay. It's a good thing. It's actually what God intended. What is authentic to you or to you or to you might be very different from what's authentic to me. And that's great. That's awesome. What's authentic to a community of faith in Inglewood might be very different from what's authentic to a community of faith here in Toluca Lake. Again, that's okay. Options are good, right? As long as we're willing to go on the authentic journey. We all relate to the Bible and to each other based on our own personal life experiences. Like, my Catholic upbringing is impacting the way I feel right now and why my heart's racing the way it is right now and why I feel judged to go into Scripture in a moment. But I'm fighting that. You know, some of you might be open to this. Some of you might be like, I don't know about this guy in the lemon shirt. And that's okay. That's okay. But if we can be open and honest and authentic with each other, we'll all be okay. How I read a passage in the Bible today and the talk that I give today might be very different from how I read that same passage 6 months from now and how I would give this talk 6 months from now. But this is where I am at this moment, and I'm sharing my authentic self with you. So how do you know when you're looking into the Bible, right? How do you know which version of, well, first of all, how do we know which version of ourselves is the most authentic, right? Do you ever get confused by that? Like, I think I'm being real, but then, like, the next week, like, it's a different version of that same person. And you might be, your version of authentic to your mom might be very different from your version of authentic to your boyfriend or to your roommate. They're all different. So, like, which the real authentic? So three things I just want to, like, reiterate before we dive into Scripture. First of all, like I said, I'm not a pastor. I'm just a guy. I'm going to put that out as a shock to anybody. No? With the shirt? No? Like I said, I grew up Catholic. I became atheist for a handful of years, and now I'm a diehard Christian. I'm in church most Sundays. Summers can get difficult, you know, because we got things going on, barbecues. I'm just kidding, but not really. Also, I mentioned my boyfriend, Emil, up here. I'm a gay man, so just to even be here in this space right now is wild. Yeah. You know, I came back to faith a few years ago. I was baptized, and my life has changed since. I gave my first talk as I prepared to go on the speaking circuit a couple of years ago, actually in a church in Denver. And I spent 2 days preparing that talk. It was an 8-minute talk, and I cried my way through it every single time we tried. Because I had to stand, there was like a cross, like inlaid, like beautiful, like right into, and I was like, I can't keep standing there. It like makes me so nervous. But that's where I was then, and it's not where I am now. I'm blessed, and I'm so grateful to be here. The point is, faith is a journey, right? And not always the easiest journey. It can be frustrating and confusing, and in those times, we are often told to turn to God. And one of the ways we can do that is to turn to the Bible, to Scripture. So let's do that, shall we? Yes. This is like a journey together, because like I need y'all to be with me on this. We're going to go to Scripture for some guidance, and because I know if I'm confused on how to live authentically and I'm unsure what the Bible actually says about who I am as a person and how I live my life, which is confusing sometimes, then the only way to find answers is to study Scripture. So let's do it. Full transparency, I legit Googled Bible verses about authenticity to find these Scripture. So there you are. And I landed in 2 Paul. Now here we're learning about how to understand when we're being called to a greater purpose, right? And in order to know what your calling is, you have to understand your authentic self. And that's how I kind of have tied these two together for this conversation today. Let's start with 2 Paul verses 3 through 4. There we go. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness. Okay, I'm comfortable with that. I'm down with that. Like, I feel comfortable. You know, sometimes you get nervous, you start to read something like, this might not vibe with what I am or who I am right now. I'm okay with this. So let's continue. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. I love great, precious promises. That's awesome. Like, I'm feeling it. I could stop right there, but I'm not going to. So that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. Sounds great. Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Okay, now that's where it gets a little weird for me. Have you guys ever, like, there's certain trigger words that make you feel like, eh, and you might read it and you're just like, eh, nope, that's not for me. Let's, I'm gonna keep going. Desire is one of those words for me. You know, as a gay man and growing up in a Catholic school system, that word has always been conflated with bad stuff. Things that I've had to avoid or ignore or suppress. And it's why I wanted to keep this verse in here. Because I know that I don't have to do that anymore. I know this is a space where I don't have to do that. And I appreciate and love you all for that, for allowing me that. And I love this man for bringing me to that place in my life. Shall we continue? 2 Paul 5 through 7, shall we go there? All right, so for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. I do that. I do. I'm a good guy. Like, I try to bring goodness to the world, and I'm very proud of that. So let's move on into goodness knowledge. I do that as well. I do my best to know what I'm talking about so I can spread knowledge and goodness in the world. Awesome. And to knowledge, self-control. I'm actually pretty good at that, too. I'm pretty disciplined. I have my moments. I can be weak, but I always pull it back in. So I've got the goodness thing, the knowledge of self-control, and to self-control, perseverance. I definitely have that one. I work really, really, really hard, and I've hit rock bottom a lot of times. So many times I wrote a book. Like, literally, I wrote a book about my rock bottom moments. So I definitely persevere. I got that one down. And to perseverance, godliness. Now, this one took me a while in my life to sort of understand, what godliness means. And to me, godliness is you, and it's you. And it's me. Like, God is us. God is in all of us, all day, in every way. And that's how I have found Christ in my life, is through his people, through his sons and daughters. So I guess I can check that one off as well. And to godliness, mutual affection. To me, that means mutual affection with the big guy upstairs. I love God. God loves me. That's mutual. Boom, we're winning. And to mutual affection, love. And that's the easiest one for me. I'm really good at love. I love people. Self-love is a little trickier. I've struggled with that one a little bit. And that's where I've really had to dive into my authentic self to figure out who I actually really truly am so I can learn to love myself like you said in the song, EL, the way that God does. That's not the easiest thing in the world. But I think it's doable. So I feel like right now I do know him. I feel like I'm on a good path right now, so I'm going to continue. Let's go to 2 Paul 8. There we go. First, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, right? So if each day you work on bringing a little bit more and more of this into your life and into the lives of those around you, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Awesome. I like to be effective and I like to be productive. So if I can keep doing these things in 2 Paul, I'm going to get closer to my calling and I'm going to be productive and I'm going to be effective. That is fantastic. So let's just wrap this one up with, let's go to 10, verses 10 through 11. There we are. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, that's us, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. All right? This is where we have to dig in to start to dig into that authentic self. In order to know your calling and to act on it, you got to get real with yourself. We all do. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Awesome. Like, that's the goal, right? Isn't that where we're all trying to go? That's the purpose? That's how I read Scripture. That's how Scripture speaks to me. And I could probably sit down with 20 different pastors or priests and have 20 different versions and conversations, and that is okay. It's okay. The Bible's perfect. It is literally alive, and it can speak to each and every one of us in ways that we need when we need it. And that's the conversation about Scripture I wanted to have with you. The point is that it's a journey. Your walk with Christ is a journey. Till we take our last breath, so it's going to be a journey that we need to continue on. For me, though, that journey has been really difficult. Not always so easy. I mentioned this a little bit earlier. I alluded to this. But as a gay man who grew up in the church, I've spent my entire life searching for my authentic self. In the midst of ever-changing thoughts and attitudes from the outside world regarding this small, small part of who I am, when I went over to college, instead of leaning into a difficult conversation with God, I chose atheism. My closest family and friends couldn't see where my faith and my sexuality lived in harmony together, so I made the life-saving choice to take a step back from faith. And I say life-saving choice because it did save my life at that time, and God's okay with that. And I did that for 15 years. All the while, sort of like asking God, like, hey, just like hang in there, like just in case you're real, like don't walk away from me. I might be wrong. I'm not good at admitting I'm wrong very often. But in the back of my mind, I always said, God, just hang in there. Just be there in case I'm ready to come back someday. And 15 years later, I did. I found my way back to faith 7 years ago because of that guy right there. His father, like I said, was a pastor. He didn't take the whole coming out thing very well. He would send him scripture, basically telling him why we're going to burn in hell someday. It wasn't his intention, though. His intention was love for his son. Emil Sr. wanted Emil Jr. to probably follow in his footsteps and to live in, you know, his walk with Christ the same way that he had. And he couldn't wrap his brain around how we could be deeply in love and going to church together and experiencing Christ as a couple together. Eventually, I was baptized with my sister, who EL knows. Then things took a turn one day with her. Got a little weird on my birthday, which is awesome. She took me to a restaurant called Lemonade in Larchmont Village. You all know it. And she told me that she no longer believed that God intended for me to live as a gay man. That the only way for me to live in Christ and to live a full life was now to pray the gay away. And this happened after she went to a church retreat in Northern California for 9 days and met a new guy, and everything changed. And she was my best friend and my rock for so many years. And that crushed me. It devastated me. She was the one person in the entire world who I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt would never, ever judge me. And then she did. And if you've ever been in that sort of a headspace, you understand what the implications of that are, that if she can, everybody can. Every person in your life can walk away from you. Pair that with losing my job. He mentioned some TV stuff I do. I was the host of a national talk show on Fox for a while. I got fired. I was told that I was all icing and no cake. That hurt my feelings a lot. I like to think there's some cake in here. Then I got a tax bill one night for over $16,000, and I nearly took my life in 2016. I just felt like a fraud. I had been accepting the opinions of others. I was not living authentically. I was hiding behind this facade of this TV personality that people were getting to know in larger and larger numbers, and that made me feel smaller and smaller, and I just retreated inside of myself, doubting what God had been telling me my entire life. That's the weird part. I knew better, but I wasn't believing it, because churches and family members and people in the world and the internet were all telling me something different about myself than what God had been telling me, and I started to believe it. I was allowing myself to live in a world that was being dictated by others and accepting their reality, the reality they placed upon my soul. I was being deflated. I wasn't living my true, authentic self. I got mad at God. Again, I felt like he left me. I lost my job. I lost my sister. I was broke. And I knew I was being punished. There's the Catholic guilt. Like, I knew. I'm like, I did something wrong. This is what I get. then I decided to take action. I decided to get moving again, and the first step in that process was to reintroduce myself to Christ. That part was more for me than for him, because like he's just always there, like he knows who I am. Like I don't really need to say, hey God, I'm still here. But I first asked for forgiveness for doubting what he has always told me in my heart and my soul about my authentic self. And I asked him to give me the courage to live my most authentic life. Well, that was not easy, and it's still a journey I'm on. Even if that meant my sister wouldn't love me the same, and even if it meant I never ever worked in Hollywood again, which was my dream. I grew up in a little town in Ohio, and I always wanted to be on TV. I saw that as my way to impact the world, and I still do, but I no longer like need it like I did back then. It was scary, but I got to work. I started writing a book, and without a publishing deal, I'm very proud of this now, I can say this. 3 months later, I got a publishing deal, and the book debuted as a number one Amazon new release amongst all LGBTQ autobiographies in its first day. I'm very proud of that. I'd never written a blog before I wrote that book, and I should have brought my water up here with me. You want to bring it up to me? You're such a good guy. Look at this. Come on. Thank you. I'm very proud of that fact. And I was only able to do it because I lived authentically and I shared myself, my true, honest, authentic self. My sister and I were estranged for quite a while, but then a few months ago, she had a miscarriage. She was expecting her first child with her husband, the same one who sort of judged me right along with her. And I'd been separated from her for a while, and she just happened to be in LA for a day, the day that it happened. And I drove to her, and I spent 4 hours with her, and we hugged, and we cried, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed together. And that night, she lost her child. And an hour later, she had to get on a flight back home to Texas. And I couldn't call her because she was on the plane. And so I called my mom, and I just cried, and I said I felt such peace with her, but I knew the moment I hugged her that the child was gone. And I told my mom, and this is something I wouldn't have said a year prior, but I have a different faith now that allowed me to say to my mom, you know, I know she'll have a child. This feels to me like God used this child to heal our relationship. And once that happened, this child had served its purpose, and God brought the child to heaven. And my mom just wept. And she said to me, your sister said the exact same thing to me before she got on the plane. Wow. That's pretty intense. And just this week, Melinda knows this. Our mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. On Tuesday. I almost didn't come here today because I was having trouble finding the strength to put together a talk. Like, the last thing I wanted to do was, like, give a talk. And, again, I was getting mad at God. I wasn't trusting God. I pushed through and I started writing this talk and I started reading scripture. And as I did that, I started to realize that this is actually a blessing for our family. Luckily, she was diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer. The survival rate is very high, near 100%, and we're praying that that is what that will. And my partner and I have been talking wedding plans recently and looking at engagement rings, and his mother beat stage 1 breast cancer a year and a half ago. And it's funny how God works. It's been an opportunity for his mother and I to get closer, and for his mom and my mom to get closer. She calls my mom every day now. She gives her advice. She sends her little articles. She sent her a book in the mail the other day that somebody had sent her when she was fighting cancer. And this thing that for a week or two that we didn't have a solid diagnosis on that was so terrifying has now become this gift in our two families, bringing us so much closer together. And it's created space for us to be authentic with each other, which is so beautiful. This moment right here today is a gift from God. He knew the path our lives would take from the moment we were born, obviously. And he knew I was going to receive the news of my mother's diagnosis. And he knew this 3 months ago when he put on Melinda's heart to ask me to come speak here today. In May, when you asked me. He knew it all. That's wild. So I thought I would have to show up and be as authentic as I could be. Because how could I not listen? How could I not show up? How could I not pay attention when Christ has given me such an opportunity that he's had laid out? And so oftentimes in our lives when we're not being authentic is when we don't show up. We hide within ourselves because we're afraid of what's going to happen. God already knows what's going to happen. Just keep showing up and keep pouring into those around you. But all these things that have happened have been reminders to me to live each moment authentically and openly and honestly. And that last bit of scripture that I had, can you pull that up one more time for me? I love this. I just really think that it's just, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. This is me making an effort right now. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're all going to end up somewhere someday, right? Eventually. Hopefully I end up there. Hopefully all of you end up there as well. I believe we will. This talk right now that I created in a space that wasn't really easy for me this week. That was really, really difficult. It's my expression of love to you. Because I needed this as much as probably more than everybody in this room. Unless somebody's getting a lot out of this, then you're welcome. But if it's just going like, okay, I'm cool with it because I needed it. The point is we're all called to a greater purpose, but it is up to each and every one of us to go on the journey necessary to discover that purpose. Each of us was designed on purpose and for a purpose. I truly, truly believe that. But we can only figure out what that purpose is if we are willing to walk with Christ authentically. No holds barred. Don't hide anything. He knows it all. So you're only lying to yourself. So I'm going to challenge you to do this. I shared this simple exercise in my book. It's a self-help book, but it's also an autobiography. And this is an exercise that I've actually done this one, and it's worked for people. So it's a simple exercise. I'm going to challenge you. I want you to invite somebody on a walk this week. I know it's hot. It's like 800 degrees here in the valley, maybe early morning, maybe in the evening. I want you to invite somebody on a walk this week. It can be a family member that maybe you're close to, or maybe somebody you've had a falling out with. Maybe there's somebody in your heart that you've been thinking, I need to reach out to them again, because this feels gross to me right now, right? And even if I feel like maybe I'm right, I still miss something about them in my life. I need peace. Maybe that person, so you know who it is. So I'm just going to let you just text that person right now. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a complete stranger. Although if it is a complete stranger, go with daylight. Maybe be in your neighborhood. Just be safe. But before you go on this walk, I want you to prepare 5 questions. Okay? no less than 5. You can prepare 10 if you want to. If you're like, oh, Melinda will probably have 20. I know you. You're type A. We're the same. But I want you to prepare no less than 5 questions. And I want you to take turns asking your question as you walk and just see where the conversation goes. I want you to hold all your judgment, though. Because if we're going to try to create spaces to be authentic with each other, you also need to allow people to be authentic with you. We all know AAA, right? We're down with AAA? Yep. Things go wrong with your car, AAA, great. Luckily, I've had mine for 8 years, and a couple weeks ago, Emil was out of town, and I was driving his really fancy car. And I drove over a really fancy screw. And then I went out to this car, like an hour before his flight was getting back into town, and the tire was flat, and I was freaking out. So I called AAA, and they came and they fixed it. And he didn't know anything about it until I told him out of guilt. So this is like a different version of AAA. All right, this is something to help you remember this. 3 A's, ready? Ask, allow, accept. So when you're on this walk, I want you to ask questions, right? That's where the 5 to 20 questions come in. But then, these next 2 steps are super, super important. I want you to allow the person you're with to just speak freely. Don't cut them off. Don't tell them why what they're feeling might not be completely accurate. Just allow them to talk to you. Allow them to be authentic. And then the hardest part of this is the 3rd A. Accept what they give you. Accept it. Even if it's not the truth you see for them, even if it's not the life you see for them, just accept it. You don't need to agree. You don't need to live the same life. Just accept it. Don't judge. Just love. Because if we're judging, we're not allowed to be authentic, right? And that's where we, as a community of faith, as a society, that's where we mess up a lot. So ask, allow, and accept. The point is, of all of this, is that we are the church, right? Christ resides in each and every one of us. But we can only share his word if we are brave enough to walk in his calling on our lives. And in order to walk in his calling on our lives, we have to live authentically. Thank you.
Your key.